welcome to our BSP chat. Fanfare the Common Man in the background there. So, how are you? Good to see you guys. I've been looking at some of the pre-chat chatting, you know, that's been going on. And Allie, how are you? Paul, nice going with that vaping, man. If you think that ain't smoking, okay, I'm joking. I don't know whether it is or not. What do you guys think? You think vaping is smoking? Or I will tell you my story. Thank you, Dean. Aaron Copeland. Dean freaking Wheeler with us. Stephen Miller is with us. Let me see who else is online here. We got a whole bunch of people. I got a pee all good is with us, yeah. And Isaac is here, and I don't know who the hell else. There's a bunch of folks online. Nice to have you guys with us. Alex checked in earlier. Now, I want to ask this question, and Bonnie is also. Hello, Bonnie. And as you guys check in, I'll give you some, I'll give you a little bit of love, you know, here. Is vaping Michael Collier from North Carolina? Michael, how are you doing, man? Great to see you. Thank you for being with us. Is
vaping smoking? That's going to be our topic tonight.
I don't know. But I was in, James Sapko is here. Hello, James. I was in a restaurant about 2 years ago with a friend of mine who will be unnamed because a lot of you may know him, her, it. And he, her, it lit up a weed vape cigarette. Basically, he had a marijuana, you know, fill, whatever the fuck it is, man, however you do it. And Naomi's here and John Reagan is with us. Hey, John, how you doing, man? Oh, it's Naomi. It's not you. Naomi, how you doing? Naomi, I haven't talked to you on our chat ever, I don't think. So I'm very happy to... Naomi and John are long, way back time people, as I know a lot of you guys are. Paul says, whatever, it's not using combustible tobacco. No more tar, no more of those chemicals. That's true. So the only thing that you really have to worry about, I guess, is the... the actual so-called vapor, which may contain some impurity. It's got carbon monoxide in it. You know, it has some kind of shit. Look, dude, you're doing good. Don't take it from me. Vaping is four chemicals versus 1,000, says Jeff Kennedy. Good. That's a big fucking improvement. Don't talk me into smoking again. Don't do it, man. Don't do it, Barnes. 10 years for killing an enlisted man. Leslie is with us. Hello, Leslie. Yeah, Jim, I'm doing the video now. Jim Gorman is online. Jim, what you have to do, if you have an all-access pass, is go to... Well, you do, because you're chatting with us, is go to the homepage where the link is, hit that link, and bang, that thing comes up big as shit. Excuse my French. But I would say to you, Paul, because we all care that you are with us for many, many years to come, that you wean yourself off that vape shit, too, because I don't know. But anyway, as I was saying, I was in a restaurant. I was in an Indian restaurant in downtown Ventura not too long ago with a friend of mine who lit up a vape, you know, blasted one. Pure weed, man, pure marijuana. It's the first time in my life that I ever saw somebody smoking dope inside of a restaurant. And no one else knew it. And on top of that, I'm pretty... Well, no, it can't be legal. Yeah, it was legal because they had a medical marijuana license. Hello? So get that. It... John Reagan is a vapor. He says that it doesn't... No. No more for you, Phil. Yeah, sure, right. Yeah, Paul. So you can sit there and suck on that vape, but I got to sit here and be Mr. Cool. All right, fine. I'll do that. You're a younger man than me, and you have a great many more gigs in you. Yeah, go down the bottom of the page, Jim, and click the link, man. So, Naomi, you are a bystander because John smokes like a goddamn smokestack, I'll get. I'm just guessing. And as a result, you get asthma attacks? What kind of a fucking husband is this? I mean, I know that John loves you, but, you know, what the fuck is that? You know, why would you be around anybody if you're a smoker who has asthma attacks? Go outside, do something. Believe me, I'm not a reformed smoker. You can smoke around me. My girlfriend, Lauren, smokes. I don't give a shit. She's always saying to me, are you sure you don't mind? I don't mind, man. I don't mind. The only thing I don't want her to do is smoke in the car, and only because, you know, it's got the cool bitchin' car smell. But she will tell you, that I am constantly, every time we take a long drive someplace, we went to Big Sur, I stop, I let her have her smoke breaks. I'm not a fucking dick about it, okay? Any non-smoker that gives shit to a smoker, especially if you don't know him, you deserve to get punched out. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Jeff, thank you for asking. Jeff Kennedy is asking, how is my brother this week? He's doing great, Jeff. My brother, Dara, is now on dialysis. Not permanently, but he's having to go through some dialysis a couple of times a week because of the issue with his kidneys. And this has to do, as you know, with the diabetes, which was untreated for a long time. Dara is not he's not a lifelong sufferer of diabetes. He wasn't born with it. He developed it because of his bad habits. And now he's going to have to get some good habits. And that's all there is to that shit. So, you know, as we told him, and as he was, you know, getting really pissed off at us, as we were saying, he wasn't getting pissed off, but he was, he doesn't dig being told what to do, and I don't blame him. But you know what? Fucking die if you want to, man. But I know he doesn't want to, and we love him, and we don't want him to. So we're gonna have to just start giving you a whole bunch of advice you don't want, brother. So, you know, what do you want me to tell you? Andy, you've been vaping for 5 years. You haven't smoked cigs since you started. I saw a guy, you guys help me with this, Paul, Andy, the rest of you guys. I saw a guy over at the Fox and Hound in Studio City the other night because we were having a couple of cocktails and we were having a meeting on our comedy pilot, which, yes, we're writing it on the second and third. I saw this dude pull something out of his pocket. It looked like a fucking thing that a cop would use to breathalyze you. And this dude sucked on that and let out a fucking waft of smoke. What is that? It must have been vapor, but it was huge, dude. It was just a... He was watching the TV. There was a ball game on. Pulled this thing off a clip on his pocket or belt. And then just... Wham! You know, just jammed that thing into his throat, so... Yeah, I did smoke more than you. I smoked 3 packs a day. I'll tell you, and I posted a thing on Facebook. Why, I don't know. I mean, but people were asking me, how did you quit? And you guys may disagree or agree, but I believe it has to do with the level of your addiction. You know, it's easy to quit if you're not that addicted. It's really hard to fucking quit if you're addicted. So my whole thing was this. I believe that I had to get almost, you know, I had to get a life-threatening illness to quit. And, hey, Bernie, what's up, brother? Bernie the trucker from Florida. Now, where are you tonight, Bernie? That dude's a cloud chaser, Paul. Well, the guy with the clip on his belt, it's called a mod. Puts out a lot of vapor. Yeah, this cat had a, like I said, it looked like something you'd breathalyze with and just... And then the guy says, wham, and I'm like, what the fuck? The first thing I thought of is this guy's smoking, but that doesn't look like smoke. And it's, I mean, that doesn't look like a pipe. Obviously, it's vapor. Is that cool? Well, it doesn't make any difference because where I was sitting at the Fox and Hound was on a outside patio because both of my dinner mates were smokers. Brad the Booger Belmonte from WIOD. I do remember him, Benny. Do I remember him? I was him. John and Naomi, he's going to live at, he's going live at 9:30. Who is me? No, I'm fucking live right now. Naomi, are you there? You know that I'm live. Michael Collier says, I'm a cigar smoker, but it sounds like vaping does the same as smoking with less health risk. So they say, Michael. So they say. Paul leads the charge on that. And as we stand at Paul's, you know, bedside as he's dying of cancer, we'll remind him, I'm fucking around. I know you're going to be fine. Paul says, it's not what I do, but it's a high wattage voltage device that a person had, not my thing. It doesn't look like, it's like you're smoking a machine out of a machine. I mean, what the fuck, you know? I mean, shouldn't it look cool if you're going to smoke like a cig or, I don't know. Allie, trying to go to the Clippers preseason on the second. Anyone a fan of the Clippers? Allie, this is Laker House here, so you're flat out of luck. By the way, Allie, you're in town here in L.A. We're going to have that coffee. I want to know, you gave me dates, so I will... is that on me? Is it up to me to bounce back to you on a date? Maybe you should just give me a date. Bernie, you're in Castaic right now. You're the trucker from Florida, but you're in Castaic on a trip? Or do you live there? Or what's up? Paul says, I'll show you all mine in Vegas whenever that happens. Right on. You'll show us yours. That's not okay. Alan says, good evening from Coconut Grove. That's Miami. Hi, Alan. How you doing? Yeah, it's happening. The fucking, Allie says it is. Oh, yeah, it's happening. What do you mean if it's going to happen? You know, you deserve to die from just cancer, everything, man. To doubt me that way. Now I really got to fucking do it. Bernie, did Brad evolve into Brad Rifkin? Yes, he did.
Yeah, because Brad the Booga Belmonte, Bernie, was inspired by a guy I met in Miami. But there ain't no use for no Buffalo Bill fan when you're on the air in L.A., so I had to do something else with him. So I made him a Vegas guy,
because there's a lot of fucking Vegas guys in Vegas, a lot of New York guys in Vegas, and as a result, that's how Brad became Brad Rifkin. The last name Rifkin I borrowed from our executive secretary at WIOD, one of the all-time great people in this world, love her, and occasionally I'm talking to her on Facebook, Cheryl Rifkin, who was Bob Green, the real Bob Green's executive secretary. All right, so that's how that shit happened. Dean, Allie, as a longtime Rockets fan, I hate the Clippers. Happy they finally turned that ship around, though. Allie, whenever you are available, Mr. Annie, you message me on Facebook before, you know, when you are here getting close, and we will absolutely set it up. So when you're in town, it'll happen. Andy, now I'm getting a... Okay, Andy says, I was just listening to the fight between Jesus and the cast of My Big Fat Greek Wedding. After Jesus wins, he gets interviewed, and he's black. I want to thank Allah. Brilliant. If you remember, did you take any shit over that skit? No. Not really. I mean, that skit came post... South Park, remember when they had that whole Jesus thing? That, and then on top of everything else, we've been doing like Jesus. Jesus has been this, you know, the target of satire for a long time, so. Bernie, I'm working, living in Daytona, heading to the Bay Area. Boy, that's awesome. So Bernie is out from Florida. He is rolling up the left coast here. He's in Castaic. He's a Daytona Beach guy, and he is now in the Bay Area. Or on your way to the Bay Area. Awesome. Man, you must see this goddamn country left and right and up one side and down the next, man. Where haven't you been, Bernie? Allie, Dean, I'm willing to take all of this shit, but I love my Clips and my Orlando Magic. Why do I talk? Well, look, the Clippers are, and I agree with Dean, the Clippers are, they turned that ship around. I'm a Laker fan. This is an L.A. Laker home, always will be. I can't deny that. I can't just turn that off. Just same way that I can't really become an Angel fan, even though, you know, my sympathies sometimes lay with them. And the same reason why, to be honest with you, why I'll never be a fucking St. Louis Rams fan, because they were the L.A. Rams to me. You know, I'm not going to root for some fucked up St. Louis team. So, and I say that with all due respect to our friends in St. Louis. Bernie, loved how you fucked with the Dolphins fans. Great days. Those are good days. I was actually in a tent, and I think I told Lauren about this. I was in a tent outside of, in those days it was called Pro Player Park. Before that it was Joe Robbie Stadium. And then it became Pro Player Park. And then I don't know what the fuck they call it now. And I had on Buffalo Bills Zuba pants and a Buffalo Bills shirt. And I was up there with a microphone and I was singing the Buffalo Bill. I was singing a Miami Dolphin fight song, only inserting the words Buffalo Bills, doing it in front of 1,000 goddamn Dolphin fans. It was a scream. It was a riot. And I actually had 2 or 3 Bill fans get up with me and sing along with me. James, hey, Phil, do you watch South Park on a regular basis? They just started their season last week. They've been ripping into Bruce Jenner. I do not. I did watch the one with Trump. I mean, I thought it was funny. Jeff, Phil, how many computers do you have in your studio, and what all software do you use in your production? Oh, well, here we go. What all software do you use in your production work, besides, of course, Audacity and iTunes, which we see up on your screen? Here is my PreSonus digital board. This is a TriCaster. From whoever the fuck this is, New Tech TriCaster. All of these computers are, I believe, Dell computers. I got a printer down here to my left that you can't see. I got all the tower drivers below me. And then I have these cameras, which are all Sony cameras. There's a JVC camera there, and the other two Sonys are smaller cameras. It was cool to hear you talk about the Brian Cox ordeal. I always wondered if that's why you left Miami. No. I left Miami to make more money, to be honest with you. I left Miami to be on in L.A. Because it was going to represent more money and opportunity, other opportunities. But I had always felt that I was going to be in Miami really for the rest of my career, that I would start my radio syndication there and just move on from there. Bernie says, I've been to every state, brother. Best part of the job. Man, I'll bet you have. I'll bet you have. That's beautiful. April the stripper, Stephen? Not really. Not really. Unless you're her. Unless you know her. Unless you... And if you do, yeah, there's a big backstory on that one. Actually, to be funny for a second, April, in terms of backstory, physical, it's very small. Now... which ain't bad. Bernie, why did you stop your autobiography on Saturdays? It was cool. Well, thank you. We can go back to it. It was our effort at trying to do different things for the Backstage Pass people on Saturday. We decided, well, let's do this. Let's do a biography. And then we decided that we'd do other things on Saturday. So this, like, you know, now we replay our chat on Saturdays, because there's a lot of people that miss it who are Backstage Pass people, and they requested it. But we may well go back to doing the biography. I enjoyed doing it. I call it the audio biography, which, you know, is no big deal, but yeah. Jeff, yeah, and didn't your timing leaving Miami coincide with a change in the WIOD ownership? Well, yes, it did, and that's one of the reasons. What happened, Jeff, was that WIOD was purchased by Paxson Communications, sold by Cox to Paxson. Cox retained my contract. Cox sold the station and basically sold the contracts of everybody there except for me, which was cool. And they gave me the option of going to one of two places, Orlando or L.A. And as you might well imagine, that's... You know, and I appreciate that from Cox, but it's not really much of a choice. I came to Los Angeles, and that was that. And then Paxson took over, yes, you're absolutely right, the radio station. And that was very short-lived, because I do believe that after Paxson came Clear Channel, right? Yeah. But Neil split and went over to WQAM, and I guess that was Beasley. I guess he'd had a belly full of that shit, and I shouldn't say shit. You know, but look... I've gone on and on about radio. I'm not going to do it here. Paul, did you watch Cocaine Cowboys on Netflix, dude? You really have to. Awesome. No, I've seen it. Yeah, Paul, I've seen Cocaine Cowboys a couple of times. It's an insane story. It's about the 70s and the 80s. I was in Miami. I worked in Miami in 1978 in Fort Lauderdale and heard a lot of this, the crazy shit that was happening in Miami at the time. It was still a pretty wide open town. And much of what I did in Miami in those days had to do with being the music director at WSHE, going to a lot of fucking rock and roll shows, going down to Miami for listening parties. I didn't see anybody get shot. I didn't. I heard about people. It was in the news. People getting that, especially that shopping center thing. I remember that specifically, and that became an ongoing sort of joke with me when I came to L.A. And everybody was saying, "How is it in Miami?" I said, "Well, people are getting shot and getting gunned down in shopping centers because of the fucking drug trade down there." Andy, Phil, did you know you foretold of Steve Irwin's death back in 2001, though you said you thought it would be a snake? Did I really? Which show, man? We gotta play that one back. Allie, Mr. Henry, whatever happened to the cartoon show that you had before? I only ever saw it on YouTube, but it was only one or two shows. Well, that was a pilot that you saw, Allie, and it was produced by Fox, and it was produced by Steve Levitan, and it was a pilot for Fox, and... it didn't go anywhere, man. It didn't get picked up. What got picked up instead was American Dad. Hey! Which, by the way, Mo Collins, who I worked with on F is for Family, and she's from Mad TV, and I interviewed her for Science of the Funny. Mo has a pilot that's just been purchased by ABC, and she's so very, very worthy of that. She's a funny woman, and I hope you guys get to see her. Bernie, who or what was the inspiration for RC? He's one of my favorite characters and gives most laughs. Yeah... R.C. Collins started out as the voice of Rocky the Squirrel when I was in Miami because I wanted to do a Rocky the Squirrel bit. And so I did that. And where's Bernie here? Bernie, who or what was the inspiration? So I did that, and then when I got to L.A., I changed that into another character. I used the voice, but I had a character I used to do, and his name was Cleve. And this was a character that I never did on the air. It was a character that I used to do when I was drunk in the desert with my friends, and I used to bait a buddy of mine, the Swede, with this character who would say things like, the Swede would say, you know what, Cleve, why don't you fuck off and die and go get me a beer? Yeah, you and what army? You know, so in other words, a little twerpy guy that thinks he's a badass. That was it. So it was kind of Rocky the Squirrel's voice and any twerpy guy, and we've all known them, who think they're, you know, some kid, you know, who thinks he's badass and you got to smack him around. Just that's essentially the inspiration there. From Allie, Ted is my favorite. What's your favorite RC quote? Oh, you're asking Ted that, Allie? Okay, so, or I mean Bernie that, so I don't want to get involved. Bernie, who do you think gives the audience the most laughs? You mean character? Who do I think gives the audience the most laughs? RC or Bud? I don't know, man. I don't know. The RC Collins voice, it's really hard to do, and it's way up there. There was a time, ha, ha, ha. You know, I mean, I've got to probably work on that and bring that character back in some larger form. Steven, great question, Bernie. RC is the best. Okay. I'll take that. Yeah. Mavis Leonard would be a great Trump supporter. She is. I think I had Mavis support Trump at one point in one of the shows. Oh no, what did I say? She, yeah, maybe. I'll turn her over to, I'll turn her over to Trump. I'll pass her on to Trump. Jeff Kennedy, how was the podcast conference last weekend? Jeff, it was not good. I didn't like it. There was a very low turnout for my show, and it's because I didn't promote it well. It's because I didn't promote it well enough, and it's also because we didn't really get a whole lot of promotion on it from the, I don't think from the podcast festival. Now, I'm not criticizing, and if anybody from PodFest is watching, please, I'm not criticizing you. I don't think it's the right venue for us anymore. The reason why I say that is because I think we've grown past that. We don't do a podcast that is like other podcasts. And look at that. I got the fucking gate on this thing, man. Why did I do that? Okay. I got all kinds of shit from Alex on that. So it wasn't all that great, you know, to be honest with you. Andy, I'll find the show. Thank you, Andy. Please do. This is the show where I predicted the death of Steve Irwin. That's going to be brutal. From Allie, yeah, I got you. Bernie, also love Jeff Dowder. Yeah, Dowder's a mental case. Jeff auditioned for NFL Films. Yes. Jeff Dowder's got to go back and audition for NFL Films again. You know, and it went something like this. Okay, on the Green Bay Packers, we're in town to take on the San Francisco 49ers. On second down, the 49er quarterback, you know, Joe Montana, you know, he went and he threw it. And then catching it at the 2-yard line is the other guy, I forget his name. So that, thank you for reminding me of that, man. I got to write these things down. If I don't write them down, I won't goddamn well remember them. It was 2006, Dowder. Thank you, Bernie. Let's see what else we got here, man. I love Robert Leonard. That's my man right there. Robert's nuts, man. Allie, I'm a father and I have a son. And what about the Holy Ghost? Him too. That's my favorite TED quote. That's Allie's TED quote. I'm the father. I have a son. What about the Holy Ghost? Him too. That's Ted Bell. Well, I came up with something for Ted that I really like, and I got to keep working on it. Ted has a statue in front of his house of himself, his wife, and his kid, and it's gold, and it's life-size. That's Ted. He has a statue of himself in gold. Bernie, that was back in 2006, the Dowder bit. Jeff, Alex said that Science of the Funny is on hiatus, so I know it will be soon. But if you happen to know Stephen Banks, I think he'd be an interesting guest. Yeah, I definitely will get him together. Thank you very much for that, Jeff. And also, yes, Science of the Funny is on hiatus. It's a little too much for me to be doing right now. We got a shit pot load of stuff happening, and, you know, Allie, that's the Allie says that the quote may not be verbatim. Not a problem because it's close enough. Yeah, I got to tell you, Bernie, I got to do that, man. I got to do that shit again. It's like, you know, that was a lot of fun to do. So you're auditioning for NFL Films. Yeah, I'm going to be auditioning for NFL Films, and you know, it goes like this because if you've ever heard it, no, I've heard it. It's very yeah. So it goes like. October the 3rd was a day like any other day. When the Green, or maybe not the Green Bay Packers, let's say like the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, the Cleveland Browns. October 3rd was like any other day. But when the Cleveland Browns entered, you know, Candlestick Park, or I know, when the Cleveland Browns entered Dolphin, what is it called? Joe Robbie Stadium. Yeah, when the Cleveland Browns entered Joe Robbie Stadium, Cleveland was on a 2-game winning streak, and their quarterback, Bernie Kosar, dropping back on second down. Okay. Hey, Phil, the guy who called in for pizza, I think back in 99, how was that set up? Did he just called the station, Andy. He was thinking it was a pizza place. It was, thank you, it was hilarious. You kept sending him to different pizza places, yeah. It was absolutely a call-in. And even though the guy had been told, you're going to be on a radio show, for some reason it didn't connect. He wanted his pizza, and that's all there was to that. And it's very, very rare, if at all possible, to tell people you're about to be on a radio show and then have them say, well, that doesn't matter. I'm going to, you know, and not knowing they called a radio show, thinking they called a pizza parlor, and not have them react. So that will forever and a day be in the archives, though. Bernie, your hitchhiking story a few weeks ago was cool. I had a similar experience hitching once. Probably lucky to have survived it. What are you talking about, man? What hitchhiking story did I tell? I was hitchhiking. I've done a lot of hitchhiking in my time. I don't remember which one that was, man. James says, one of these days I'd like to hear a segment where Steve Bozell inadvertently pisses off Doug Danger being gay that results in Steve getting his ass kicked. Yeah, yeah, that's not a bad idea. I've never had those two guys get together, in a manner of speaking. I've never had them interact or otherwise, you know, get into a fist fight. So that, to me, is a goddamn good idea. Michael Calaire makes a great point. Hey, when your mind is on pizza, nothing else matters. That is so true. That poor fucker, though, he called the wrong place, didn't get his pizza, wasted a bunch of time. He's on my CD. And I wonder if he ever did get his pizza. Sorry to be bouncing around with the questions, but I wrote a bunch of stuff down that I wanted to ask. Well, tell me about the hitchhike story, Bernie, because I want to know. Was it about me hitchhiking back from Florida? Andy, exactly. Nothing matters but that pizza. Allie, Mr. Henry, do you have any kind of mule tonight? Where is your cup? Yes, right here. Just about ready to drink it. I was drinking a milkshake. This had in it a mixture of banana, strawberry, and protein powder. But I don't ever, ever drink that shit without following it up with tequila. Oh, fuck, I forgot to bring you guys. I forgot to show you guys. Some dude touched your leg and it reminded me of my experience. Oh, what? Some dude touched my leg. I remember a guy touching my hand when I was like 13. No, older than that. When I was like 15, I was hitchhiking out. I had a dishwasher gig out in Monrovia, and I used to hitchhike from Arcadia. As soon as I got off the air, as soon as I got out of school, I would hitchhike. And this dude picked me up, and he touched my hand when we, you know, he hit the brakes. He almost hit this dude. In front of me, hit the brakes, and he touched my hand. He was ostensibly trying to keep his shit from sliding off the seat, but he touched my hand. He kept it there because I remember kind of sizing all of this shit up in my brain, and that's when I just said, you know, he said something to me like, "Do you want to stay with me?" And I said, "No, I'm just getting off here." You know, I'm not saying that guy was. Representative of, you know, you always have to be careful when you tell these stories because it's like any predatory heterosexual too, you know, trying to hit on some little girl or trying to do something worse. Bernie, okay, so Jeff, speaking of Ted, you don't know what that hitchhike story was, though, Bernie, beyond the... That was when I was a teenager, not when I was out, you know, doing the... out there in America. Speaking of Ted, says Jeff, I can't see a HOV lane... HOV lane. Oh, you mean the carpool lane. I can't see an HOV lane without thinking about Ted saying that businessmen need that lane to conduct business. When CHP sees a man alone on a cell phone in a high-end vehicle, a high-performance vehicle, he needs to let him pass without stopping. Right the fuck on. Yeah, that's Ted. Let me just explain to you. First of all, I've got business to do. I'm not trying to be an asshole, but I have business to do, and I got to get it done right away. And if I need to, goddamn, the police should understand that. Bernie says, I had a guy pick me up and then offered me money if I would let him do something sexual. I jumped out at the next light. Yeah. Andy, Phil, now that football is back, do we get to hear Joe and the professor give their picks? Well, you know, I've been thinking about that. One of my favorites was when they did it from a Chinese restaurant with a nude Chinese waiter. You want Tsing Tao? I don't know. Yeah, I suppose. There's sort of, you know, Joe Dickhead and the professor, for whatever reason... There's characters that I brought on from the old radio show into the digital show, but I don't know if those guys are... what's the word? I'm not feeling it, you know? I'm not feeling them, but I'm sure it'll change. Allie says to Bernie, I can relate, it's happened to me as well. P.S. Mr. Henry, how about Glendale? Whiskey bar called The Famous. I'll treat you to whatever mule you want. Well, now you're talking. Now you're talking, Allie. Bernie, the one you just said was the one I'm talking about. Yeah. That was it. I was 15, hitchhiking out to goddamn... Jamie Rocks is with us. Hey, Jamie, how you doing, man? Jamie Rocks is a great guy. Jamie retweets all of our BSP, all of our posts. He retweets all of our podcasts. He's a wonderful guy, Jamie. Christopher is on. Dean freaking Wheeler, I really think we should create Dickman Football League Fantasy League, except we don't know who will start for the Lions week by week. That's the truth. You know, the thing of it is, man, is if you do a... well, you know, that's not such a bad idea. So you only need to know the Lions players, right, Dean? We don't have to include any others. So people are going to be taking only Lions players. And does that mean defense as well as offense? So the defensive statistics are going to be what? I mean, you know, the defensive statistics are going to be the sacks. They're going to be tackles for losses. They're going to be interceptions. They're going to be fumble recoveries. They're going to be forcing fumbles. They're going to be defensive touchdowns. And then the offensive is the offensive. you know, I'm not exactly sure how we would do that. Just using the one team, but hey. Moving on here. Bernie, did All You Can Eat Negro originally done in Miami? No. It was in Los Angeles, and it was within the first 8 or 9 months of us being in Los Angeles that that took place. It was a bit where we'd read where some guy had been, he was Catholic, and apparently he was buried in a Protestant ceremony, and we just flipped it around. It was a Protestant who was buried in a Catholic ceremony, and the woman was upset because she'd heard that Catholics eat the body of Jesus, so she was afraid that they were going to be eating her son. Aw, shucks, I'll need to get a bigger hat now. Say, that is a pretty awesome copper mug. Yeah, that's Jamie Rocks talking. Jamie, you need that bigger hat. You're a good man. Thank you. It's a copper mug that you use for Moscow Mules, only I don't drink vodka because... I hate vodka, but I drink tequila, and when I'm generally here doing the chat with you guys, I always have a drink on Friday night. I ain't gonna, you know, I'm not gonna blow my Friday night out just because I'm doing this shit. Michael, oh my God, All You Can Eat Negro kills me. I almost crashed my car listening to it laughing. You know what's funny about that bit, All You Can Eat Negro? The comedy, the actual inherent comedy in the bit is not all that amazing. It's a priest, and it's Mavis, and it's, you know, sort of a funny premise. But the thing that makes everybody laugh, and the thing that I think makes that bit legendary, is because Crozier and I both laugh, and we laugh not for 5 seconds, not for 10 seconds. We're fucking laughing for at least 30, 40 seconds, and I fall out of my chair laughing. I mean, literally, I fell out of the fucking chair, and you can hear Crozier, big as shit, laughing his ass off. And it was Mike who wrote that line, by the way, on a whiteboard, and I think that's kind of what makes it funny. I think you cannot help but laugh. Tell me that a laugh is not just as suggestible as a yawn. You know, when we see people yawn, we yawn. It's pretty automatic. I think the same thing is true of laughter. Jamie, you're welcome, brother. Paul, speaking of Chinese, when Elcott spoke it, when Elcott spoke it on one of the shows, it was so funny. One of those times where you paused, Elcott spoke Chinese? Bullshit. Really? I don't even remember that bit. I know you're an Elcott fan. He spoke Chinese. Okay. Allie, Michael, All You Can Eat Negro is one of the first Phil Hendry skits I ever heard. And it got you hooked. I'm glad, Allie. Thank you. Paul, that was Mike's line, too. All You Can Eat. Yes, that was Mike's. Mavis was old school. Elderly woman, and used a lot of those terms like Negro, colored, like a lot of old school people do, whether they're white or black. And she was just, oh my God, it's going to be a brother buffet, you know. But the laughter ensued. It was fun. Paul, now you're reminding me of Bud speaking Mandarin and ordering Chinese. Get out of here. The Baby Jesus skit was legendary. Baby Jesus skit. There's a couple of those. One was my man Lloyd Bonafide, who had a baby Jesus in the manger. The guy, the manger had the lights cut out, I think. So he picked it up and he threw it at the utility truck. And then the other one was Pastor William Rennick, who had wired up a baby Jesus in the manger to launch on command, and the first person to catch it, even though it had a contrail, like smoke coming from it, would win either a microwave or a refrigerator or some shit. Allie, vodka gives me an instant headache. Yeah, vodka is evil, man. I think Tony, thank you, and welcome, Tony. What company owns the oil rig over my shoulder? Steven, I don't know. But it's probably a Shell. That's who. The only reason why I say Shell is because I think Shell, I know Shell was the cause of the massive oil spill in 1969. And, excuse me, something tells me that even though they spilled tens of thousands of gallons of oil into the Santa Barbara Channel in 1969, they probably haven't given up their ownership of those rigs. I'm just guessing, though. Bernie, funny that you mentioned that you thought 2005 was the best. I just finished listening to that year. 2005 was a great year for our show, of the old show, the phone call show. We had it going on. We had the show prep was streamlined. The actual topics were absolutely fucking on target just about every goddamn day, and funny every day. We really had that, had our show, I mean, honed big time in 2005. And it's so funny because by that point, you'd think that with all of the people would have known not to call the show, right? There was also, I have to tell you, there was a critical mass that had been reached in 2005. We had enough affiliates that were coming on board who were new, and they had just enough cum, that is, people dialing in to listen to the show, that we had a good, you know, reservoir of callers. So I really believe in my heart of hearts that 2005 really did represent sort of a peak, and that the show was going to tail out, not necessarily because of anything that we were doing wrong, because God knows I don't do things wrong, but because of the... There was an increasing temperament in the business. The economy was going south. Companies were beginning to tighten their belts, and my show demanded a lot of... How do you know, Jeff, that Monolithic Oil owns that rig, dude? That's the rig out... You see the rig that's over my shoulder? move this goddamn mic so you can see it. There's the rig there. Right there. God, that's funny. That's so funny. I can't do this. There. That rig is between Anacapa Island, and Anacapa Island is that island right there. It has a long-ass plateau where the sea lions live. And then the island over my right shoulder here is, I think it's Santa Rosa, but I'm not really sure. Phil, who was the character who tried to get retarded kids working airport security, plane go boom? That was Vernon Dozier in his pre-football coach years. that was just...
That's right, Phil. I work security, and, you know...
But Vernon has always been based on Bill Riddell, the head coach at Oaks Christian High School, who, if you're following Oaks Christian, I think Bill is still there. Bill left, he retired, and then came back when the football program did one of these, and he came back and he got that goddamn thing going. My method of listening is to download 1 or 2 weeks at a time and listen while I drive. That's sweet, man. That's a great idea, brother. That's Bernie talking. You know, it's really funny when you guys bring up retarded kids. People, let's take that bit. That bit is a classic example of a Phil Henry bit dealing with what you might call, you know, touchy material. People would say, well, you're mocking retarded kids. And I think that that bit is legendary, and I think that bit survives, because I don't think anybody that listens to that bit thinks it's funny laughing at retarded kids. I think what was funny about that was how stupid Vernon was trying to get a kid like that to work security, and how the kid finally got one up on him when he almost strangled him to death with the phone cord, which, by the way, what phone cord at a security place? But anyway. There was one other segment you did with Bobby where she was considering being taking self-defense courses, because when you're when you're home and alone, you're really like a piece of meat waiting to be smoked. I remember that, man. I remember you lost it after that line and had to pause the laughter out. That's true. I'm still laughing at that, and I've got to believe that it was Craig Taylor that wrote that line. Craig Taylor was also all of my, every single engineer that I've ever had, without exception, going all the way back to Ventura, every single producer engineer I've ever had has a whiteboard and they write lines down. They can't help it. They cannot help but get involved. Andy Kalb did it in Miami. Before that, Rob Pendleton did it in Minnesota. Greg Glasser did it here in Ventura. And then when I got to Premier Radio, Craig Taylor did it, and so did Mark Newman. So every single solitary cat that I've ever been fortunate enough to have across the glass from me or across the table from me, engineering the show or producing the show. Hey, look at this. Hey, it's Pancho. Pancho. Here's the man. The man, the myth, the legend. Hey, buddy. How you doing? That's my good boy. That's my good. Look at him. Here's Pancho. This is the guy that's got epilepsy. He hates being held. You can see he wants to get away. All right, Punch. That's Pancho. And all right, that's my good boy. He cannot stand being picked up and held, although he's a real lover, man. This guy, he's the sweetest cat in the world. He's got epilepsy, so I got to give him his pill later on. Lauren's in Minnesota visiting her buddy Joey, so I'm taking care of cats, you know. But to just get back to the smoked meat thing, they all write those lines down, and that was a line I'm pretty sure Craig Taylor came up with. It's a funny motherfucking line. Anything else? No. Ellie, what's that from? Ted Bell, that's right. KFI years were the best. I think the KFI years were great. Of all of the phone call stuff that we did when I was live at KFI, I think when I was doing afternoon drive at KFI from Premier, you know, 2005 was the absolute best, in my opinion. 2004 was too political. Yeah, you know, I really kind of got my shit back together again after 2004. Agreed, Phil, great year. Now I went back to the beginning and I'm up to 1999. The radio show tailed out pretty much when talk radio, or actually radio in general, tailed out. I agree with that. You know, you can't goof people anymore. It's like, I said this the other day on the show. I said, you know, the invention of pranking and cranking, I'm not trying to say that our shit is, you know, doesn't stink, but I can tell you, I'd be willing to bet money that the popularizing of cranking and pranking and all that shit in mainstream media, really, you can trace it to the popularity of our show. I'm not saying guys weren't making crank phone calls before me. Not saying that at all. But it became very mainstream and really popular when I started doing it. I happen to know because I saw the quote in Spy magazine that Jamie Kennedy, when he was doing the Jamie Kennedy experiment, was a fan. And I know that there's a lot of people in the world of comedy today that are and were fans. And I think a lot of it had to do with that pranky shit, you know? And so now it's like, excuse me for saying, now it's like fucking lame. I think a lot of the shit that's being done is lame. If there was still an opportunity to do a talk radio show with callers who were very earnest and, you know, doing their thing, yeah, man, it might be fun to do again. But you don't have that anymore. People are already getting their fucking rocks off, man, on Twitter, on Facebook, all that shit. But we would look into it. You know, the thing that I wish I had done, and I'll tell you this, and even my manager at the time said the same thing. I wish the fuck I would have beat that cat, what's that guy's name, Borat? That Ali G dude? I wish I would have beat that cat to the punch on the TV and movie thing. But to be honest with you, I had no fucking interest in doing television or movies. I had no interest at all. My whole thing was doing the best possible radio show I could do. And I did, you know. So we're on to other things. Chris Norton should teach R.C. Collins to pick up chicks one of these days. It'd be funny to listen to. Not a bad idea. Jeff Kennedy, Phil, Monolith Oil is a national anthem. Okay, thank you. It's Monolith Oil. I don't know whether it's fucking Shell Oil or what it is. Christopher, can you bring back Art Bell? Yeah. I haven't listened to Art, though. I'm going to have to start listening to him again. Art, by the way, if you saw his post on Facebook, Art faces a lot of the same problems that we have faced. I saw Art post the other day that the internet went out, that his internet connection went out, and it was frustrating for him, you know. So, you know, you're doing a digital show, you learn as you go how to do this shit as opposed to that shit, the radio stuff. Michael Collier says, Phil Henry, and I'm just pronouncing your name the way it's written, Collier or Collier. I don't know, Michael, how you pronounce it. Phil Henry hit the airwaves here in my part of North Carolina in 2009. His show got me and my officers through those long 12-hour prison shifts. No shit, dude. Michael, thank you, man. And I'm glad that you're a subscriber because you can go back and check out what we were doing up to that point. Anacap Island is beautiful, says Andy. They have nature trips there. It's the only place the brown seagulls mate. I gotta get all over that shit, man. That's no, I'm kidding with you. They got a shit pot load of sea lions over there, and yes, they do have nature walks. And I went over there on one of those, as a matter of fact, and I saw a huge pile of fossilized seashells. It was a garbage dump for the Chumash Indians who used to canoe back and forth before, you know, the Europeans got here. So there's a Stephen Miller. Schaefer has 20 on it. We're betting James Doohan's kid is going to go Mongo. I remember that, man. James Doohan got married and his wife was pregnant. And because James Doohan was, you know, old, it was, you know. Jamie Rocks, do you miss having an engineer or do you still have them? No, I engineer the whole goddamn thing myself, my brother. Here it is. Sorry, not sure how you do it these days. And it's all hands-on here, Jamie. Bang, bang, bang. Bing, bing, bing. Using mouses. Let me tell you something. I'm used to working remote from a board. Nowadays, everything is with a mouse. So I'm over here. I got to go grab a mouse. I'm going to bring this up here, you know. Bring that up there. And then I'm using a mouse over here. I've got to go to my right hand to work with the TriCaster, which is this array over here. And so on and so forth. So it's quite... It's really hard. I can't do it anymore. No, I don't give a shit. It's fine. Poncho Fest. I'm a little late tonight in Monterey, California for a Porsche event. God damn, James, are you rich? You gotta be rich, brother. You were in Monterey for a Porsche event. Are they auctioning them off? Was it a race? By the way, when we were coming back from, James, tell me if I got this right. When we were coming back from Big Sur, Lauren and I, we went right by the Paso Robles cutoff. Is that where James Dean got it, or was it further inland? Maybe you don't know. I don't know. But I remember as we went by, there was the Paso Robles cutoff, and it was a stop sign. And as I recall, the guy ran the fucking stop. Oh, no. The guy just went through the stop. James Dean tried to beat this guy through that particular bit of cross traffic. And the good news is the guy that was at the stop sign didn't get killed. Sorry that James Dean died, but hey, you know, I mean, the guy was acting like a dickhead. Hey, cats are cool. I had a brother and sister pair, but I had to give them to a friend when I started truck driving. Yeah, cats are the best, man. They don't need a lot. They just hang and they stare at you and they go, hey. But they like being around you. They want to walk up to you. These two cats dig it when I have that laser thing. If you guys got one of those laser red things, man, if you bounce that fucker off a wall, cats go apeshit. They dig it. I always thought your show was a cross between Candid Camera and Punk'd. Yeah, pretty much. Although, I got to say, our show was even better because I think that at the height of it, we had a lot of really good comedy happening. You know, we had a lot of really good sketch comedy, you know, with the characters and shit. Michael, thanks to you. Thank you, too. My nephew is a cop in Bayonne, New Jersey, and I pray every day that he stays safe. Yep, you know, our police are having a hell of a time these days. And that's all I'll say about that. But, yeah, we want our cops to be safe, for sure. And we want everybody to be safe. You know, when you have an interaction with a cop, unless you're a criminal, it should go okay, you know. Michael, we want you to be safe. And we want to make sure that you guys don't have to get in any more fucking goddamn trouble like some of these cops are getting into. And I'm not, you know, making any judgments here except for the judgments that should obviously be made. All right. Dean Freakin' Wheeler, James, can I have some money? Okay, James, Dean wants to hit you up for some bread because you got the Porsche, Jack. You're up there in Monterey. Beautiful up there, man. Beautiful. Oh, by the way, I saw a car auction on TV. James, I saw a car auction on TV the other day that was just absolutely fucking smashing, man. I would have given anything just to be there, man. They were auctioning beautiful late 50s Corvettes. Boxsters, they had Mustangs, and I mean, these were beautiful jewels. These cars were going for 200 G's was the starting bid. They'd started at 100 and a half. We get up to 260, 270. I saw a 1956 two-tone Corvette go for $260,000. Gorgeous car. Let's see, James. I went back and listened to a couple of Art Bell ones last week after the chat. So funny. Art Bell is, those Art Bell bits are great. I got to listen to Art some more and see how he's doing the show now. Phil, didn't someone call George Norrie to ask about the general? I don't know, but I know that the General Johnson Jameson is an invention of ours. There is no general on the Art Bell show or Coast to Coast. There was a Richard C. Hoagland who loved that. Allie, my cat loves my laser pointers. Yeah, and yeah, Bernie, you know it too. The laser pointer, the cats go ape shit. And the problem is these two fucking cats that I got. Thunder is the little one that you guys have seen. The big guy there, Poncho, well, he gets territorial with his shit. They can't just share it. And Poncho will back off if he sees the laser is sort of like, you know, Thunder's going for it and vice versa. So I got to chill them out, you know. yeah, the cats will go up the wall. My cat, Thunder, she's got little stubby legs. She's one of those cats, she's a crossbreed, but she's one of those cats that don't have those big legs. And I don't know who fucking bred those cats, but it's asinine. So she can't really jump, and she gets tuckered out if she tries to jump. So I keep the laser low to the ground for her. Yeah, it's fun. Jamie, Barrett Jackson auction in Vegas this weekend. No shit. So that's a, what is that, Jamie? Is that a big car auction? Alan Grooms is with us. Alan, thank you. Please thank your beautiful wife. For those of you that don't know, Alan and his lady are designing a Milwaukee Lions shirt. We're going to have it in our store. And we're trying to get the look just right. You know, we're trying to get the look so that it is a quality thing. I used to get my cats to climb the walls. All of a sudden, Bernie, you're writing in, like, you know, capital letters. It's okay, man. I hope you're not driving. No, you couldn't be. Anyway, Alan, great to see you, brother. Andy, there was a great one, Jesse. He'll be bleeding from his ass by day's end. Which one was that? Paul, if I ever make it big, I'm buying my dad his favorite since 1963, the split window vet. Yeah. Yeah, man. Oh, it was gorgeous, man. Fucking, you got to see this show, man. I don't know. James, would you consider putting the character name list back on the site like the old website? Yeah, sure. I mean, the character name list? Yeah, you know. Bernie, do you remember Walter Cronkite on Coast to Coast back? Yes, Bernie. I did that at the behest of, I think it was George. He had a guest on, and he wanted me to fuck with this guy, so I went on as Walter Cronkite. I remember that. I remember that. Jamie Rocks, years ago I had a girlfriend who had a disco ball. Her cats would go insane. Yeah. Do you ever watch that Poppy Bowl? You know, when they have it during the Super Bowl? They have a kitty cat. They got a kitty halftime show. They put a fucking disco ball out there. Ted Bell would send the help out to cause the alarm to go off on a fancy car. Yes. it was Richard Hoagland's birthday. That's right. It was. Phil, yes, some of the more cartoony bits from those earlier years were so funny. Art Bell, wandering eye poetry, McCorder's turning black when his music disappears. I forgot about that, man. Darren, let me see here. Darren Flew, dog chat. Would be fun to bring these back, but would it fit? Yeah, it would. Those bits would definitely. Wandering eye poetry would definitely. I gotta have to go back and hear what those are like. Yep, they do. Barrett Jackson, like four times a year in different markets. That was probably the one you saw. Okay. Andy, the best Art Bell was when he tried to do a Phil Hendry show and everyone sounded like Art. Everybody loves that show, and we've put it on Best Of, I think. I wasn't too crazy about it, but everyone thought it was fantastic. And they have the, Alan says they have one in Scottsdale. Caps are easier to read. Okay, Bernie, thank you. Jesse, it was Kiss the Gutter's Daughter, Phil. Which was, Jess? Which show was Kiss the Gunner's Daughter? That was the... okay. Kiss the Gunner's Daughter made you laugh. That was a pretty funny line. I don't remember the show. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Very well. Take him below for the makings. You will. Yeah, it was when he was whacking the shit out of RC at Bradley Military Academy. Now I recall. I think the character name list allowed you to filter bits by the character, probably why he was asking. Well, we still have that, I think. The problem is, and no, we don't have it. I think that, you know, if we do that, what's the difference between that and just writing the character's name into search? Are you saying that you can't remember all the characters' names? That's probably the case. But you could write the character's name into the search engine and see a whole list of shit come up, you know. I've tried to get the guys to, I know, Bernie's not yelling. He just says that it's easier to read. But I've tried to get the guys to organize what comes up in the search better, and they have, and they're working on it, and it's a massive, massive archive that I continually try to get them to refine, you know. One of my dreams was to have a radio that plays, if you're a BSP and you log in, there's one show streaming all the time, and you know, a different show every day, but only for BSPs and only after they log in. I don't know why that wasn't done. It probably has something to do with space on the page. We have at present a page that I am told is really, you know, really pushing up against it in terms of space. And so I am, you know, forever and a day, you know, trying to understand that, and we're going to have to get through all of that stuff. I am beginning to get the feeling that to have the kind of page that I really want, it's going to cost me $100,000, you know? I mean, people are quoting me literally. They say, well, you know, if you want that shit. Well, are you fucking kidding me? I'm going to tell you something right now. It just shouldn't be that much money. And to be honest with you, it should be something that anybody can do. And eventually, I think people will be able to design their own pages. And I mean, I don't mean some chicken shit template. I'm talking about anything you want. I'm telling you, a lot of developers, not all of them, but a lot of developers are going to do this to themselves. They're hard to work with. They don't listen. They don't understand what you're talking about. They're coming from a total technical area. They don't understand customer service. They don't understand how to... And they're just eventually going to see their work become obsolete because somebody is going to come along and develop a way for the average person like myself to put together a web page that a consumer can work with, that is exactly what that business owner wants. And he doesn't have to interpret, argue with, you know, go to the fucking mat with a developer who should be listening to everything he's saying and doing what he's saying, or just saying from the outset, I can't do that. I'm sorry. Thank you very much. So never say never, man. You know, and if you're a developer and you think that day is not approaching, I got to tell you, yeah, it is, because there's a need. There's a real need, and where there's a need, someone is going to find a way. And I wouldn't even be talking this way were not for the fact that I've had, not our current developer, not Naz, I love him, but down through the years, the people that I've dealt with, they don't speak any English. No sprechen Sie Deutsch, man, you know? Guys, I have once again want to thank you for being with me here tonight. We didn't even get into HendryCon. There's not a lot to report there, but I'll update you next week. Thank you for being a part of what we do here. And as I said, and I said this last night on our pre-show before the Lions line, this is a show that is a higher price point, because this is like good tequila, good wine. This show is like class, you know, a class act. So you're going to pay more for a handcrafted, mint condition, beautiful thing. All right, that's all I got. I love you. I thank you. I can't live without you. You guys know where to find me. And we will be back at it here next Friday night for our chat. Don't forget that we've got the Lions. They will be up on Monday, a new download of the Milwaukee Lions right here on your favorite show, the world famous Phil Henry Show. I love you so very, very deeply. Thank you. Sail real far away. Bye. Oh, yeah. While it's a struggle every day, we're stressing. What's a life without status?